You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. The market is something, right? It can't make up its mind. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it's up, it's down. We got a lot going on today. We are going to talk about that very pattern or lack thereof. We're going to talk about a very interesting close yesterday. We picked a tough day to not do not the close show because there's a lot going on into the close. A lot of interesting forces at work here on the show today. We have earnings. We have some Fed speak. We have some lockup expirations. We'll talk about that. We have some rebalancing. We'll talk about all of that coming up right now on Pre-Market Prep.
This is Pre-Market Prep with Joel Conan, Dennis Dick, and Spencer Israel.
Good morning, Mr. L. Conan. How you doing? Dennis Dick is functional, but it appears he doesn't have internet this morning, is what he has texted us. Joel, I don't know if you know more than that, but that's the text that we got.
He got up at 4 in the morning to trade. He was trading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These kind of, when you have these kind of actions on the close, he probably had 847 positions. So he got up. He was trading. Internet goes down. He calls Rogers.
Yeah.
Spends 45 minutes with them. The person told him it's their problem, his problem. It's on his end. And he's like, no. He hangs up. He calls back. He calls another person. They go, oh, it's on our end.
So he still doesn't have internet.
Doesn't have internet. I don't know if he's trying to trade off his iPad. I don't even know. He can't trade off his iPad if he doesn't have internet. Well, I don't know.
If he has Wi-Fi if he has data. I don't know. But, so Dennis will join us if and when he gets internet today. I don't know if that'll happen, but it doesn't matter because we got a lot to talk about on the show. As I said, earnings, rebalancing, lockup expirations, a ton going on. Yesterday was a very, very interesting day for the markets. But first, Joel, let's recap the overnight.
Let's run things down.
Let's go through the overnight session, and then we'll talk about yesterday.
I mean, the day might be over. I mean, holy mackerel. You see the big spike down. This is on the close here. Made a new low on the close, right? And then just bounced right back. So that artificially depressed close is 66.25. Man, oh, man, I wish we would have seen that in the pre-market trade. Got to 71.50. Turned around. We hit 46.28.75. If I had something up there for you, I'd be lying. Yesterday's interday high is up at 44.25. Crude bouncing back up 233 at 68.51. That's helping your energy sector. Gold trying to get over 1800, but we're struggling again. Got over it yesterday, but couldn't close above it. Up $11. Silver up a dime at $22.91. Bitcoin futures are down $1.30. Got a little trading range between 55 and 60. Ethereum, the crypto that doesn't stop, heading back for the all-time high, up $35.25 at 47.26.75. Folks, those are the futures I quote. So I don't know if anyone calls me out because it's different than the cash market, but I like to look at the futures because the day doesn't end at 11:59:59. It ends at 5 o'clock.
That's true. All right. So that was the overnight session, but now let's talk a little bit about yesterday, Joel. It was it was a down day. Basically everything in the red, with one notable, impossible to ignore exception. And if anyone knows any reason why Apple was higher yesterday against the entire market, please let me know, because I don't know. Joel doesn't know. There may not even be a reason, but what is up with Apple here?
It's not the Apple cloth.
I don't even know. You keep saying that. I don't even know what that is.
You don't know what that is? I bet you our chat does. It's a polishing car. It's a polishing thing that they get. No, I'm searching. I'm searching everywhere. This thing was just an absolute beast yesterday. I guess you said something about iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple headlines about like iPad sales in Europe and like iPhone sales in China, but like for Apple to move, like what was it up yesterday? What was it up yesterday? 3%? Nick says because he doesn't own it. I don't know. I mean, it's just like, when's the last time, Joel, we saw like every major tech stock, big or not just that, basically the entire market almost trade down, and Apple moved that hard against it?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe we'll get some news today. I mean, people are talking about rotation, you know, maybe just, you know, getting out of everything and everyone rotating to Apple. I don't know. I mean, we're gapping above our all-time high here. We're up 290. The former all-time high was 165.70. That's going to be support if you ever thought that would be crazy. Pre-market high is 68.65. I don't know, 170 on the mind. I mean, I really don't know what to tell you. It's just an incredible move, and it was pretty much strong from the open. But we should probably let it be known that I've officially changed. It's not Pump and Pile anymore. I've officially changed my nickname for him.
Okay.
Pessimistic Powell.
Pessimistic?
Yes. Do you know what he did to the market yesterday with one statement? I don't ever see one statement.
I was watching.
One word. Yeah. Wrecked the market like that guy did.
What?
This is it. When he said, the market was chopping around, we're up or down, we're up, down. But when he said inflation, retire the word transitory, that was it. Katie barred the door. I mean, if you want to look at the exact time, it was on the 11 o'clock bar, and everybody, that was just every algo in the world hit that market. And that was the bar that you had right there. And, you know, a lot of other things went on during the day. But if you ask me, that was it. No longer transitory. Supply chain is not easing. We're going to have to meet tomorrow to raise interest rates. you know,
I don't know.
I'm surprised he didn't announce like a half point hike right on, you know, right to the Senate committee right there. I mean, that was unprecedented. But
it's also interesting, Joel. You know, that he said that. He said, hey, okay, we're gonna stop using the word transitory, we're gonna retire that word. And he said that when? He said that a week after he got renominated. It's like, as soon as he knew his job was secure, I was wrong. No, obviously he's got basically impossible job, but like that they've kind of screwed the pooch on this one.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, definitely. So
I feel like it would have been better if they had just come out and said, like, yeah, this might suck. This is going to suck. We don't know how long. But they like tied themselves to this whole transitory temporary thing. And now they're telling us, no, never mind. It could go on for a while. It's like, dude, people feel like we haven't seen this kind of inflation since when? It's been like 20 years, 30 years. I mean, they kind of screwed the pooch on this one, I feel like.
He said inflation persistent into late 2022, which was a big change. So, that's what Rock does. And then, wow, what a close, a close of closes. Yeah. A great day to Emily need me to take her to the airport. That's all I have to say.
So let's talk about that, Joe, because we had an $8 billion sell imbalance into the close yesterday. But that is not the only factor that caused movement, because we also had the semi-annual and my fault for not even realizing this. We had this semi-annual MSCI index rebalance. This happens twice a year. And that caused a number of crazy moves into the close yesterday. Not in everything. Like, it's not like every stock being added went higher and every stock being removed went lower. But it did cause some action. So SoFi, for example, you have them on the screen. SoFi was added to the MSCI Americas Index as of yesterday's close / today's open. That one did move a little bit, and that was sort of that actually was one of the bigger ones. But if you look at just like the volume bars at some of these stocks that we'll tell you about at the close yesterday, an insane amount of volume at the closing print.
I don't. I mean, they have to do it. They have to get the closing print. I mean, this one was they're so tricky to play. This one was added and it went down. So what that means is that the indexes that it was coming out of, they had to sell more than they did to participate in the new index. But once again, I got a 15-minute chart up there on top. It dropped. And then, you know, you put your orders out there, immediate rebound. What are some of the other ones?
ENTG is, and this one actually did move off it. ENTG, Integris, that one actually moved pretty.
Yeah, soon. There's two ways you can
again, that's being added. You know, these stocks being added to. And for those people who don't know what we're talking about, index companies like MSCI, like S&P. They create these indexes, basically these measuring sticks, these groups that include certain stocks, right? So the S&P 500 is your top 500 stocks in the U.S., for example, right? And they have to update these indexes every so often. It could be quarterly, it could be semi-annually, it could be once a year. MSCI, which is, I don't know, the second, third largest index provider in the world, updates their indexes every year, twice a year. And so what that means is, if you are a fund manager that has a fund that tracks one of these indexes that is now changing, you have to make changes in your fund so that you are doing what you say, which is copy what the fund is. So if the index is changing, your fund has to change, and the index change is reflected as of yesterday's close, which means if you have one of these funds, if you're the manager, you have to go and buy the stocks that they're adding and sell the stocks that they're deleting, and it can create some funky movement, especially into the close. Like ENTG yesterday, you can see that chart, pull it back up there.
And that was added. Right,
and that was added. Right, that's what I'm saying. So it can do some weird stuff. Is my point.
Right, and what it is it's and the reason you see something like this with the ENTG is because whatever it was coming out of, they had to sell more than they had to buy to go into right. The MSCI. I don't play these a lot. Triple D does, and what he does with these stocks is he won't chase the imbalance, because this way you know, if you were chasing the buy imbalance, right, and you were buying into the close, you got absolutely railroaded. What he likes to do is he likes to see what the reaction is, right? He likes to fade whatever the imbalance is. So I don't know. This is a pretty thin one. I don't know if he traded this one or not. But he would be there, you know, trying to, you know, be a buyer. Whatever the imbalance is, the thing is to fade it. But the way these things are, you know, and coming in and out of the indexes, it used to be a lot more straightforward. If it was being added, it popped up. If it was being taken out. But now with the, you know, with all the different indexes and ETFs and everything, and there's people that just, that's all they do is study this stuff for 6 months ahead of time. But what else? What else do we have besides ENTG?
But again, the thing is, though, like a lot of them didn't really even move off it. ENTG was a big one, but you had Lucid, LCID being added to the, and these are stocks being added to the MSCI USA index.
Okay.
Which is a pretty widely followed index. Lucid, but didn't really move. Affirm being added, kind of moved a little bit into the close, a little bit, right? Coinbase being added, not really, right? Nuance, N-U-A-N, if you look at that close, that had two very interesting candles there.
Jeez. But that was a little bit
And that's also a stock that's being taken over. So, like,
ARBs are, like, scratching their head on that one.
Right. And then you had, like, Zoom Info, ZI, which dipped into the close being added, right?
Tricky.
Yeah, very, very. And then, you know, Upstart, same story. Basically, all the stocks being added to the MSCI USA index yesterday dipped into the close. Go figure. It's not always that cut and dry, very difficult to play.
I just want to talk just real quick about, you know, the S&Ps here. Yeah. And, you know, what it did, like, on the close. Let's go back to 4 o'clock yesterday. I mean, here you are, 15 minutes. I don't know how much that happened. But they just, last couple minutes, they pounded. They made a new low for the session. There's probably some selling balances on big stocks. Within seconds of the mark, it was 10 handles higher. And then by the time they wrap things up for the at 5 p.m., that's why I call it the LAHP, the last after hours print, that was at 85.80. That was 20 handles. If you were selling into that close in the spoos, you're like, oh, this is the weakest close ever. We're going to be down 100 tomorrow. Holy macro. Before you could even cart it up, the thing was 10 handles and then 20 handles against you. And now it's almost 60 handles against you. So, wow. What a fade on the close. Unbelievable price action.
Yep. All right. So, we got a lot of earnings here. So,
let's go.
Let's move on to the earnings parade. Let's start with Salesforce. This is the big one overnight. Someone in the chat was just asking, like, Salesforce, great quarter, and it opened down. What's going on? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the story here, right? Is it? Unfortunately, it's not always as simple as, earnings beat, stock up, earnings miss, stock down. In this case, Salesforce did report a good quarter. Their EPS came in well above estimates. Their sales came in above estimates. They gave a lot of guidance, right? They raised their revenue guidance for fiscal year 22. And even though it was a raise, it was still in line. It was a smidge above estimates there. They gave some Q4 guidance that was, like, okay, it was basically in line, if not maybe a smidge on the light side. They gave Q4 sales and Q4 EPS guidance that was fine, like not like bad, but fine. And they even gave sales guidance for fiscal year 23.
Wow, how the heck do they know that far out?
It's a great question, Joel. On the one hand, you have a company like Peloton saying we have basically no idea what's happening with our business because the supply chain is so screwed up. On the other hand, you have Salesforce saying, oh, yeah, we're going to give you sales guidance going out 2 years, not 1 year.
Well, but I mean, I guess that they have contracts with people, right?
Sure.
I mean, I guess so, you could base it on that.
So the bottom line here is if you stack up Salesforce against a lot of their peers, this report did not knock anyone's socks off, which is, you know, one explanation for why it's trading down this morning. To make no mistake, this is not a bad report. It just wasn't like knock your socks off amazing either. You know, so
I'm not going to go. I'm just going to go long term here on this one. Yeah. The big move yesterday, right? Street leading the right way into the port, really since the whole month of November. If I wanted to buy this stock, and if I wanted to, or if I was short, I think I would hold out for 260.37. And the reason is that you had a big gap up day. You're actually at the top of that gap. You snuck below it a little bit, but I don't know. A lot of downward momentum here. Is this thing going to turn right back and go to 295? Yeah, it could. But I'd wait for this gap fill, the consolidation, and maybe a little turn. That's what I'm looking at. Right now, though, there's not a super – I mean, they're not – you know, there's a patient – right now there's a patient buyer at 265. Yep. They might be buying more at 260, but I'm looking for a gap fill today, next couple of days. 260.36 is the exact gap fill on that.
All right. And then compare Salesforce to a stock like Box, BOX, which had earnings last night. Also a cloud play. Their earnings per share beat for last quarter. Their sales beat for last quarter. Their guidance for the current quarter beat. Their sales for the guidance for the current quarter beat. Their guidance for the fiscal year beat. Their for EPS and for sales. And on top of that, they announced they increased their buyback to $700 million. So basically, they beat across the board and did a buy and raised their buyback. And you know, the market likes that. So you know. And of course, Box has not been nearly as strong as Salesforce. Right. Salesforce has been a massive uptrend. Box, not so much. So, you know, what were expectations, perhaps?
Well, if you were trading this in a pre-market, I mean, it spiked lower, but then it came back up through this area, quad top. You guys know how I like my multiple highs and lows in the same area. So if you feel like you miss this one, you want to be patient. Maybe wait for it to come back down to 24.50. I'll call it 24.40. You had four highs in a row, old resistance, new support. Can't make it any easier than that. Haven't quite got to 26 yet. Sure looks like it might give it a try. So I would look at 25.85. If you want to target here, what's the pre-market high? Pre-market high, 25.90. There's a good level for you. If you want to blow through 26, if it has the mojo to go through 26, there's a lot of people waiting to get their money back. On November 17th, this thing peaked at 26.38, closed the day at 25.75, and has not seen that level ever since. So see if you can take out the pre-market high. If you're looking for more, 26.38. Good for you. After that, I don't know. You're on your own. Coming back on the downside, be waiting for that 24.40, 24.50 if I'm being patient. I'm not chasing it, though, up 214.
Here's one that probably had a high bar because it's been a massive year. Ambarella.
Oh, yeah.
Stock's been on a freaking tear, and it's still going.
Oh!
I know, right? So the earnings last night for AMBA, 57 cents per share versus a 49 cent estimate, sales of 92 versus $90 million. They guided Q4 sales above estimates as well. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't have seen this one coming because, again, it's already had a massive run this year into the, you know, if not for the past few weeks, but it, you know, or past month, but definitely like, you know, through the entire fall, really. Yeah, just a massive, massive year and a good quarter and a beat and a raise. And we're up now to 207 this morning.
All right, Spencer, I know you know the answer to this.
All time high?
No. No, you can look on the chart to get that. This has got to be an all time high. Yeah, let's see if Money Mitch knows or anybody in the chat. What one company was this one tied to when it made an amazing run? Spencer, I told you not to answer.
I'm not saying it's not anymore, though. It hasn't been for
not anymore. Heck no, not anymore. Come on, chat. Someone should know this. If not, then they're probably a bunch of you.
There was a stock that Amba was married to for a while there.
Mitch is raising his hand.
Pick me.
In the back of the class. All right, money.
Mitch.
Go ahead, Mitch.
I'll tell you why. Because I actually traded it back when I was in college learning about what underlining asset. And it was GoPro. I was looking for the chip in the GoPro. And I said, what's behind the chip? Ambarella. And it looks like that relationship split.
Let's take a look at GoPro here. GoPro, $10. Spend that forever. Yeah. No, good call. I mean, that's one thing, you know, in our second educational event, we talked about, you know, relationships. Well, it's good to know the relationship, but when the relationship stops working, you got to know what to do. Also, I just want to thank everyone that's been signing up for the event. It's been absolutely crazy. You guys are getting the word on that using BZ10 as a sign up. Go to premarketprep.com for that. But Amberilla, I mean, how many times have you seen stocks like this? 213.44 is a pre-market high, and you think this can't go any higher.
And then it does.
Yeah. So, you know, I have no position. If I had 500 shares, I'd have 100 shares out of 213.44 to see if they take me. Well, you back $6 off that. So if you don't get taken, I know, Dennis, you don't like to put your orders out there, but I, you know, hey, this is trading at 207. If someone wants to lift me at 213, I'd even go cheap. I'd go 213.40, see if you get taken out. This is one of those situations where if you don't get to the pre-market high, I can't give you support. I mean, you can look at, you know, a couple of these trades here. It could get crazy. This thing could go to 200, go to 195 and turn back. So the only number I'm giving you one on this one is 213.44. I don't think it's a heavily traded option stock. I don't have that platform up. But, you know, if someone has the 185 calls, you know, they took a flyer, 200 calls were probably still expensive. They could lock in their profit right now here at 207 and have a free look at the downside. So a lot of dynamics going on for AMBA. Pre-market high, 213.44. Who are their peers? I mean, I don't even – this. I don't really follow this one, Spencer. Oh,
Amberella?
Well, yeah, that's a tough one. What does Pro say?
I'll tell you right now. Pro says chip stocks, basically, all of them.
Chips.
Yep. So think of your chip stocks. You know, think your TSM, your Broadcom, your Intel, your Corvo, your ON, your Xilinx, your ADI, okay. Micron, AMD, all those names.
Well, we don't need to look at those charts.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then there are more though. If you want to look at Zscaler, common theme here in all these names that are higher this morning off earnings is they posted not just above estimates, but they posted year over year gains. Right, year over year. We know that for some companies, year over year comparison is worthless because last year was so messed up. But for a lot of companies that had good years last year, and you can if you can post gains off that. That's telling, and that's what Zscaler did here yesterday. Their EPS beat, and again up year over year. Sales up year over year. It's just it was a good report basically for Zscaler.
All time climbing the pre market high. You just hit that. You really haven't backed off 372.72. That is the high in the pre-market trading, all-time high. If you want that, if you want a little more meat on the bone, 76.11, that'd be another target on the upside. If you're a little bit of a longer-term player and you're saying, hey, boy, I sure wish I would have sold this at the all-time closing high, 368.68, keep an eye on that. If you want to get out at the mark, because it the highest mark you've ever got on your statement, because after it hit that, 3 days later, it traded down to 28.48. So sell off, not a, you know, quiet day yesterday, rebounding back towards all-time high. You have to respect that.
Yeah. And then just wrapping up the earnings here, because we had a couple more, nothing too notable, just in the way of movement this morning. We had Global Foundries, GFS, which is a new one, recent IPO.
It's not Gordon Food Service?
It's not. Recent IPO, but a huge company. Their earnings, I just had them up on the screen here. GFS, up year over year, EPS and sales, stock higher, but quiet. And then HPE, right? HPE had earnings last night. This one, again, value tech. How many times have we talked about, all tech except for value tech? HPE is, the earnings were good, frankly. Their EPS was higher. Their sales were lower. It was a mixed report. And they gave guidance for the quarter that was a little bit light, and the market does not care about value tech though. So
another quiz for the chat. I don't even know if Mitch is going to know this one.
Okay.
The old symbol.
Wait, but you mean pre-split?
Yep. Pre-split, like when it was like
blonde. Because now it's because there's two symbols now. It's HPQ and HPE.
Right. And come on, it was an easy one.
Yeah, HPQ. It was HPQ, right? It was. No.
Nope. Long time ago.
Shoot. Oh gosh. I don't know.
Come on, Bill BG. No,
it's not HP, guys. HP is a different company. I don't know, Joe. I don't know.
Come on. It's a little difficult.
Wait a minute.
Not Compaq. Come on.
I was going to say, that's also a different company. Compaq?
Time's running out. HPQ. HPQ.
Wait, I said that. That's what I said.
No, you said HPW.
No, I didn't. I said HP. Because HPQ is still around.
HW. I'm sorry. You're confusing me. HWP.
Oh. Yep. All right, that's way before my time. Fine.
All right, this one is a dead money stock, 13 to 16. It has to hold 14 and a half. That's what I'm asking.
Okay.
That's what they want, dead money.
It is 8:30, Joel, and we somehow have not even talked about any new COVID variants. So I don't know if that's telling or not, or if that's just one more thing to confuse the market.
You know, I'm a little disappointed in Jerry too. I mean, because you know he says all these different things, and then
Jerry,
yeah, because he says all these different things. You know, okay, transitory, but you know, how can he say that already that this variant is going to have an impact on the economy and the supply chains? I mean, the doctors don't know. And he's saying that he knows. So that was a part of his statement that, I don't see a DR in front of his name. So I don't know how he could say that. But I don't know what it's what – will we hear any news on that overnight? Any more cases?
When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search. But what if you could get rid of the search and just match? You can with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. In the minutes I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/prep. Just go to Indeed.com/prep right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/prep. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
So the problem is, like, the scientific community can't even really agree because, again, they don't really know because it's so new. So if they don't really know, then, like, we don't really know, then nobody really knows, and that creates chaos. And that creates a situation here where we have, like, this morning, for example, everything is basically trading higher, right? And that's how it was yesterday before Jerome Powell got up and raised his hand. So you get these weird situations where it's like, we're up, we're down, we're up, we're down. We don't really know what's going on. And there's too many things to worry about, and that creates confusion.
Do you want to go on any of these?
Well, there was a stock. Oh, wait a minute. What happened to it? It was the biggest gainer of the morning when I checked, like in two hours ago. I don't even see it on my thing now. Where'd it go? There was a stock that was up huge. They said that their treatment was like effective against or could be effective against Omicron. I don't even see it on my movers tool now. So,
yeah, be careful the way you pronounce it, because I guess we have a bunch of linguists in the chat. And if we pronounce something wrong, that they like they're all over us. I don't know if they're robots or what, but don't pronounce that thing wrong. I don't know if you pronounce. I'm afraid to even say what the new variant is, the way everyone's jumping on you. Right. Was it OP?
No,
Ocean Pal? No, that's a boat floater.
I don't know.
Okay. So if you find it, let me know.
It may have been. No, that wasn't it either. Forget it. I don't know. Okay. Let's move on here. We have a few more things I want to get to, and then we'll do some ticker time at the end of the show. I promise. We had a great guest today, a really fun guest, but unfortunately, he had to cancel late yesterday. So we don't have a guest today, but Joel, I hope we can get him on because it was.
We will. Don't give it away.
It was going to be a fun
one. It would have been a fun one, too.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on here to EVs. You know, it's a new month, which means we got some data out from the Chinese EV manufacturers here this morning. I'll run through the list right now. So we have NIO, Li, and XPEV. We'll start with LI, because I think that's your biggest gainer this morning. Ticker LI, yeah, it is. And they gave some, I'll give you their data here.
For November,
they delivered about 13,500 vehicles, which was almost double in October.
It was 10, you said? They doubled it?
They delivered 13,480.
Woo-hoo!
Wow. That's about double.
Yeah.
And they projected for the whole quarter 31,000 deliveries for Q4.
Wow,
so, hey, double month over month, you know, ain't nothing. NIO up.
Well, let's just real quick. You got to pop to 38. People were waiting for the breakout at 36. There were a couple highs there at 36. So I'll say, okay, use 38 as a target on the upside. If you're looking for more, then you have a monthly high above that. At where was that other monthly high? It was in the 38 handle. No. There it is. Oh, no, 39.35. If you get through 38, which I'm a little skeptical about, next monthly high is 39.35. If you want to short this off the open, you're looking for it to come in. There are probably a lot of people that sold it at 35.90, 36 area. They'd like to get their money back. Doesn't hold 36. I expect to give some of this move back.
We have NIO, which is, again, up this morning, and they reported a little under 11,000. It was 10,878 deliveries last month. That number was up about 200% from the prior month. A lot of that is due to chip shortages, though, right? I mean, like I know you're scoffing, Joel, but you know these are companies that are in their early days, so
yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So NIO reported also strong month over month and strong year over year. That 10,000 delivery figure is up. Is basically double what it was last year. So for the month of November. They seem like they're coming out of whatever auto supply chip shortage there was, because they seem like they're back on pace here.
Pop over 41. If you had if you were trying to sell at 41, you got done 41.24. You were over 41 yesterday. You went to 41.42. That'd be some targets for me. Above that, you're looking above 42. But you know this kind of price set. I mean, this is tough price action here. I mean, I don't know how you're trading it if you're a good scalper, but I don't know. Maybe when you get these kind of I mean, I can't even draw a good range on this thing because it just chops. So yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna leave this. I'll leave this one to the experts.
All right, and then if we're talking month over month growth rates, XPEV had the smallest of the three. They delivered 15,613 cars in November. That represents about a 54% increase from October. Though, again, it was up substantially year over year. But of the three, of Lee, Neo, XPeng had the smallest month over month increase in production.
Why doesn't China pick on these stocks?
Well, I think they've got a stake. I think that the government has a stake in NIO, right? They're not going to let that one fail. That's a good question, Joel.
Yeah.
really good question.
Pre-market high, 57.79, a buck away. Why not? Why not hit that? If you're really, really super bullish, this is the move of moves. Next monthly high comes in at 60. Top of yesterday's range, you can use as support. Wow, Street, for a pretty bad day, they were looking for some good numbers here. 55.40, that was the top of yesterday's range. You can easily see that. But, I mean, do you take, like, we should, like, how many of these companies, like, a year from now, when we're doing the show on International Satellite, like, how many of these companies are going to be around in a year or two? I mean, I just, that's the only way I look at it. Who are the winners going to be?
Well, the three we just went through will probably be around in a year or two. There are only four, right, companies doing EVs in China. It's those three and Tesla, as far as I know, right? Okay. So, now in the U.S., there's 50, right? They won't all be around in a year, for sure. But in China, there's way less competition, which I guess bodes well. Plus, the NIO is like attacking the high end of the market, right? Like XPeng is like the low end of the market, or vice versa, because I can't keep them straight. But you know, they've all been around now for several years, and it's not as if they're in massive, like, you know, massive, like, all time lows, right? So whatever. And then on the EV front, just on the U.S. side, keep an eye on Ford here, because Ford is supposed to give an update on their EV stuff timeline I think on Friday.
I know we got a lot of people like Ford's in here,
yeah,
and what I just have to say is, as long as this thing stays above 19 bucks, I'm extremely bullish. That's a level. What you hit yesterday, you hit 1903, you bounced up to close at 1916. So there holds under 19, then it gets, I'm not going to worry about this low right here at 1872, but under 19, that's just a lot of air for Ford. So 19, good to go. GM, I saw, man, that thing got whacked. Or I did DM, direct message, but let's do GM. That thing got whacked. Ugh, I don't know, maybe come down 58.91, up a buck 04. Maybe I buy it at 56 on the way down because I missed it on the way up when it had these three highs right here and then busted through it. That was a nice move. So GM coming back down after making a new all-time high.
All right. And then one more thing I had, and then we can do some ticker time, is I just want to put Robinhood on everyone's radar.
The Hood.
The Hood. The Hood has a big time lockup, their last lockup expiration today. As of today, every single share held by insiders at the time of the IPO is eligible for trading, for selling. I think I saw like half a billion shares are getting unlocked today.
But so, that doesn't mean anybody's selling one share.
It does not mean anyone is selling or has to sell. It just means they can sell if they want to.
I'd be careful on this one. I would be careful on this one. I'll say two things. One, if this doesn't have an update today after the release of the lockup, then I don't want to give any price targets on the downside. If it goes down and gets killed again today and the insiders are bailing at this level, I don't know where this thing's going. I mean, you know what I'm going to say about this one, the fifth day of that it's trading. I don't know. How did they get to sell so early? Did we examine that? Why did these people, because it was it a direct listing or what was it? Why did they get to sell 5 days afterwards?
Wait, was it a direct listing? I'm
going. No, I don't. There was something. Why could they sell like that?
I have to Google it. No, I don't think. No, it was
same
not.
Thing. You know what? And man, that was a tip. Same thing happened. I don't know. People don't want to hear about GoPro, but back when this thing made its all time high, somehow J.P. Morgan let the owner, like a big shareholder, like do a sale. And it was before the lockup period. I think I wrote an article about it maybe 100 years ago on Seeking Alpha. But it was like and that stock never saw the light of day after that. I think what was their names? The people.
Wait, GoPro?
Yeah, this happened. Oh. I think you were still at Maryland, Spencer, when this happened. What year did you graduate Maryland?
2013.
It was after that. I don't know. Where were you working at? Macy's? Because it was
Joel. Who can say? I've been all over the world and back again.
The world.
The world.
Where have you worked outside the U.S.?
Nowhere yet.
Okay. All right.
Robinhood's IPO price, for those wondering, is $38 a share. So we're obviously
33 and a quarter. Yeah, we'll see what happens today. I mean, if you're short this thing and you're looking for a big lockup. You know, sell on the open. You better get it on the open. Double bottom right now as we speak, 25.75, 25.81. But you could have said, wow, look at this support at 34. Boom. Oh, look at this support at 32. Boom. So we'll see. We'll see if what a horrible performance, man, off the IPO. That got reddited, right? Ran up and just came right back down.
Yeah, the timing of the Coinbase and the Robinhood IPOs, they were coming off like the best quarters of their lives. Not that they could have known that was going to happen. They couldn't have known that was going to happen, but that's how it happened. It's just so interesting.
Down 7 cents, not doing much in the pre-market. I mean, you had a week tape ahead of it. And then, the lockup. So pretty big expiration. I bet you those people that sold at, 60, 65 are whistling Dixie after seeing this in the 20 handle.
Yeah. A lot of people in the chat have feelings about the stock. leave it at that. Okay. So it is 8:45 here. We've got 15 minutes. I've basically covered the extent of all the things I want to discuss today. There is a few more things like we have some big earnings tonight, but we can cover that on the At the Close show.
How about Twitter? What about Kathy?
Yeah. She's never frowning because she's averaging downing.
Is this her first plunge into this?
No.
Are you sure?
Let me check.
Okay, I don't know.
Let me check. I would be stunned if yesterday was her.
I don't remember her. I don't follow it like the way you guys do, but seems to me I haven't heard Kathy buying
this. She bought 1.11 million Twitter shares yesterday. That is not her first buy.
No.
Heck no.
No. I had a theory on this yesterday, and Triple D shot me down on it, so I'm just going to keep it to myself for now.
Okay.
The reason Jack's gone, but...
We'll discuss it
later. You know what?
We should keep an eye on Twitter for the next few weeks, because, it's not all... obviously, it popped off the headline of Jack leaving, but, sometimes these catalysts take longer to play out. And can be the catalyst that changes trend. I'm not saying it is. It's going to be, but keep an eye. I'm not going to fret about this one for the rest of the year.
Can you believe this thing traded $53? $53.20.
Yeah. Pretty wild, right?
On that $53.20, someone bought that up too. And because Jack was resigning, and then the street told you what they wanted to do. The street told you what they wanted to do with this news, because after it hit 53.20, let's go back here. I should have this on my chart. After it hit 53.20, right? This is it right here. What did it do? This is what it did in the pre-market. Okay. After it hit 53.20, it couldn't do any better than 52 in a regular session, right? This is the regular session. And then I don't know when the halt was. There was a halt in here somewhere. And then at the halt, I think it was like right in here, 10:30, 11:00. So after the street told you that after it hit 53, they hated it. They told you they hated it from 52 to 48.5. Then it comes out of the halt and it goes up to 50.
Yeah.
And now makes a new low for the year. I mean, new low for the year. So my number for Twitter, 4440. That was your low, believe it or not, in January. That thing closed the year, I think. Where did it end? I mean, this thing is down for the year in the greatest bull market of all time. It ended last year at 45.81, went to 80 and change. I don't know why. And now you get, if you're getting a reset on the yearly low, I'd keep an eye on 44.40.
Seriously, end of February, early March was the top for damn near everything. You know, a lot of stocks topped out. It was euphoric.
Which was it? Was it pins? The pins, yeah. Pins,
Joel, a lot of them. And basically, if you have a stock that is not currently at or near all-time highs, chances are it topped out in February or March of this year. It was just that was the topping event for all these growth things. Crazy for Kathy, for all of it.
ARKK.
Yeah, Steph T is saying, you know, she's down 15%. You know, Steph T, we can't tell you what to do with your Twitter or anything for that matter. I would just say in the grand scheme of things, 15% is, you know, not that bad. I don't know how much pain you can take. If you can take more pain or if you can't take more pain, only you can answer that question. Dennis, you know, has survived by cutting his losers. Joel and Joel too, I've survived by being diversified, so 15% doesn't kill me. But you know, we can't tell you what to do. I hope though, if you don't know your risk tolerance, then you're flirting with disaster.
How about Jumia? I used to call it Jumia.
Jumia, I mean, holy cow. We had them on the show back in like May or June, and gosh, that was 100% ago. More. I mean, it's been a disaster. It's been a disaster for all these growth names. I don't really know what to tell you. It's just
please consult your own investment advisor.
And if you don't, if you're like waiting for someone to tell you what to do, then you're gonna. There are people out there that will tell you what to do. There are people out there that will tell you buy this now, sell that now. That will only get you so far. It's like you know, feed a man a fish. What is it? No, wait, catch a man.
I believe Spencer, you're getting as senile as me. If you give a man
give a man a fish, thank you.
He can eat for a day. If you give a man a teach him how to fish.
Teach him how to fish.
He can live how to ever. And that's what we're going to do on December 11th at 9 a.m. to 12:30. Does want to do that extra half hour because he could just talk for 3.5 hours. But that's what we're going to do. A little bit different than the other ones. We're going to talk about tape reading and order execution, kind of the old arts of trading and surviving in the markets. What do we got, Spence?
And I just butchered that, but I did put the link in the in the chat, and I pinned it to the top, so check it out, premarketprep.com.
Someone wants a dad saying? They haven't been very good lately.
Haven't been good?
No, let me see. I still got a lot of them. I can tell you're not going to like this one. Dads love pretending they can't see you if you're wearing camouflage. And then the one for today, dads love saying that's how they get you after declining additional warranty protection.
Yes. I say that all the time. I say that's how they get you all the time. I'm not even a dad. Anyway. All right, let's do some stocks. I know I asked for a few earlier, so drop your tickers in the chat. We will take a look, give you our thoughts on things. You want to look at Baba? I mean,
no.
Okay. It's up this morning.
Oh, I didn't realize that. It's up $1.63.
Yeah.
I tell you, I mean, you talk about instincts. I mean, Dennis dumped half his position at 220. And he got absolutely ridiculed in the chat for it. Then he dumped his other half on this day at like 146, 147 right near the open. And now it's down another. I don't know what to say. You know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say this 130. If you want to risk, and I don't know if I'm going to do it, but if you want to risk $15, you want to buy this at 130, you want to risk it down to 115, maybe not, maybe $10. If you want to go, if you want to risk 10 bucks, buy it here at 130, get stopped out at 120, I think you can see 140. And then the only reason I'm saying that is because I know there's a gap that I was waiting to get filled in this thing, and it's going back to 2000. Let me see. I know it's in here because I remember, just like I need to cancel my Tesla order at 40 pre-split. Man, I think this kept up bumping up against 40, bumping up against 40, bumping up against 40. Huh. What is this going back to? Baba Daily. What is this day here? I'm going to find this gap. This is 2020? Oh, that's when it was still in the 200s. Hold on 1 second. Let me go a little bit. I know this was, I think this was, all right, we'll go back 5 years.
Oh, wow. 5 years.
Yeah.
Baba was $50, $60.
No, I'm getting close to it. Come on, where is it? Oh, could this be it right here? Nope, it was lower than that.
Wait,
I'm going to find this because I keep saying, I keep talking. Here it is.
Okay.
Nope, that's lower than that. Oh, maybe that was the one I was thinking of. I thought it was closer to like 120, but nope, that must have been it. It must have been this gap back over here. And that was at 130, 135. So anyways, that's just a feel. That's a hunch. It's not investment advice.
I got one, Joel. Can you look at Riot, please? We're going to have the CEO of Riot Blockchain,
really?
Jason Les, on Benzinga Live today at 12:15 Eastern time. So tell me what you think of Riot here.
Riot Blockchain?
Riot Blockchain.
They're not the one that got all the SEC trouble, or that got – that was Mara, right?
All the SEC trouble is not like, it's not exactly what it is. You're right. It was Mara, but it's, they just got an inquiry. It's not as if like the SEC is like banging down their doors or anything. It's, but yes, it was a different company.
I mean, this has gotten beaten up with Bitcoin a little bit. I'm going to take Bitcoin out of the picture. That's in a trading range between 55 and 60. We'll see if that holds. This got back half of the move, right? And it's hanging in there, 38, 34. I would say if it could hang in here a couple more days and Bitcoin doesn't get killed, then you could start to work your way up into this area, right? 4108 fills a gap. And then you had the recent high. That's not the all-time high. The recent high, 4628. So best case scenario, you know, it gets back, holds 3850 for a couple days, consolidates, and then makes another move higher. And also keeping your eye on Bitcoin.
I just got a correction on Twitter. Apparently, I'm saying the plural of index wrong. It's indices. Sorry.
There's our professors in the chat.
Did I say indexes? Okay, indices. Wait, so is a singular indice? Is a singular of indices indice?
Index.
Riddle me that, Batman. Let's move on here. Bunch of tickers in the chat. A few people asking, dropping some retailers in there. Did you see Best Buy, Joel? I mean, oh my goodness, Best Buy. What a run it had. It's gone. It's all gone. All his gains from that run, gone.
Yeah, coming back. I mean, are you going to wait for $100? You know, this low actually 95.93, and then actually those lows are above 100. Is that right? No. I mean, if you really want to be patient, wait between, you know, 95 and 100, or at least wait for it to stop going down and put in a double or triple bottom. You know, they came out and they told you. I mean, here's one thing about these retailers, and I know Best Buy did this, and Dick's did this. You know, they came out with the good quarters and they said, hey, you know, we don't know about Q4, right? So what they do is they give you conservative guidance, right? It's very easy to be conservative guidance. Now, the street is taking their word for it and pounding it, But you got monthly support 95 to 100. If you're, I mean, it's $5 off the low. I see that hit. What was the low yesterday? No, it's not $5 off the low. It's that retracement level I had at 103.10. 106.27. You know, if it holds in there a couple more days, close right near the low, you'll probably find buyers here a little bit on the pullback. But pullback, couple lows in the same area, a couple days of consolidation, and maybe a turnaround. Longer term, though, I'm looking at, 95 to 100.
I forgot to mention Build-A-Bear had earnings also this morning or overnight. I did walk past the Build-A-Bear workshop in the mall on Friday, and it was, shall we say, not crowded. I don't know. That's my own personal channel check.
You know, you spiked over 20. I believe this is probably off the print. 104,000 have traded. Is this seller still here at 19? That's the only question you have to ask yourself. 1912, 1927. You get through that, maybe you make a run at 20. If not, I would look from back and fill. The top of yesterday's range, 1721. Oh, you're not too far away from that. You don't want to see this thing go red here. Two closes, 1702, 1706. If you do go red on this and a pair of lows, let's call it 1637 splits the lows from the last two sessions.
All right, it's 8:58. We got time for like one more, and we'll do let's find one that is not a usual not a frequent flyer. Oh, actually, here, you know what? This is interesting. Do you want to look at eBay? Let's look at eBay because Loco Trader says eBay is at the 200-day moving average on the daily chart. You know, obviously had a rough couple of days here. But how was here? Was there any news on eBay? Is there, or did it just move with the overall market? I think it just moved with the overall.
Full disclosure: I've never made one trade. I've never made one investment. Yeah. I don't think I've ever talked to anybody about the 200-day moving average.
Okay.
So it made a low yesterday. What I don't like is it took out the low from last month. Now we're starting a new month here. So if it can retake the low from last month at 68.28 on a closing basis, then yeah, I like it. But if you want to go on the old red candle, green candle theory,
yes,
which is probably one of the weakest ones in the book.
I love it.
Then you can go on that one. But I don't like that it took out the low for the month.
I love the theory that goes buy a stock on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, sell it on Tuesday, Thursday.
And then I will say Etsy could have a big Q4.
Oh.
You know why?
Yeah,
because Lisa decided to buy gifts for the girls. I don't know. She's in a holiday spirit this year. The girls and Garrett decided to buy him a gift for every day of Hanukkah.
Oh, that's a lot of gifts.
So right there, that's 24 gifts, right? And all I know is there are a lot of custom gifts. And I hope Garrett's friend is listening to the show doesn't tell him, but she got him a pair of pajama pants with a picture of his cat on it. Now, how much that cost on Etsy, I don't even want to look at it,
but I'm
sure it wasn't cheap. So for the custom gifts, Etsy, look, just based on what Lisa's spending, looking for a good Q4. From a technical perspective, support, well, I took out the 275, 273.97 is just the undercut of these lows. If not, you're probably looking at 270 and change.
All right, it is 9:01 again.
Oh, I got to hop. I've been here too long. I'll let you guys go.
Oh, my God. Mind blown. Wow, and he really is gone. Okay, that's all right, because I put the link again pinned to the top of our chat, also in the description, to sign up for the last pre-market prep special event of the year. It's December 11th, so it's not this Saturday, but the one after that, 9 a.m. Eastern time until 12:30. $99.99 is what it costs. Use the code BZ10 to get 10% off. And again, links abound. Thanks to all of you for hanging out today. Please remember, all the information from our show is meant to be used as informational purposes, not for investing or trading advice. I'm going to wrap here, hop off the stream. Live trading with Benzinga, Mitch Ryan Junaid starting at 9:05. This video will end, redirect to that. We'll catch you guys later. Everyone, have a good day today. Stay green. Yesterday was tough. Let's hope today is a little bit better. We can all make some money.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.